Nehemiah chapter 6, would you turn there please? We've been talking, preaching sporadically in Nehemiah. First week we talked about people of vision, how God wants us to be people of vision, to be like Nehemiah. He had a vision that the walls in Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. He was the king's cupbearer and he was willing to leave that rather cushy position and take on this tremendous task of rebuilding the walls. And then last week we looked at the opposition, and that was the reason why we wanted to sing The Fight Is On. Because when you try to do something from the Lord, the enemy will be there to fight you. He's not going to let you go by easy. He'll be there to stop the work in whatever way he can. And a similar thought tonight, with the title of the message being Stay on the Wall. Don't come down, but stay on the wall. Because if you come down, and the devil will try every trick that he has to get you to come down and come off the wall. If you do that, you abandon some things, and we'll talk about that tonight. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. Notice the number of times that Nehemiah's enemies came to him to stop him from doing the Lord's work. Nehemiah's dedication and service stands as a true witness to the true servant of God, because the devil will be trying to get us to come down and to abandon God's work and to become involved in other things. And there are good things that we can become involved in, and there are things that we could easily become involved in, but we have to ask ourselves the question, does God want me to cease the work for Him in order to do these other things? And the devil will try to get you to come down and to abandon the Lord's work. And if you do, there are certain things that you need to realize will happen. There are some wonderful things, some great things that will be abandoned if we come down from the place that God has called us to occupy. And so I'd like to just speak to you a few minutes on that thought. Just stay on the wall. Just stay on the wall. Because if we don't, here's what we abandon. Number one, we abandon the work. Nehemiah's call and commission was for a great work. It wasn't just a work. He calls it a great work in verse 3. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. I want you to know that whatever place you occupy in the Lord's kingdom, whatever you are doing in service for the Lord, is a great work. You know, we tend to think that, well, if I preach, or if I teach a Sunday school class, or if I'm doing something that's visible and out in the open, I'm doing a great work. No, any work that we do for the Lord is a great work. If it's needed, it's a great work. John Wanamaker said, learn to tell the difference between activity and work. Think about that. We do need discernment sometimes. We need to learn the difference between activity and work. Sometimes some things are just activities to fill up our time. And those activities can take us away from the real work that God wants us to do. You know, sometimes the urgent takes precedence over the things that we need to do. And I know that there are times when the urgent does call us away from the work. But it's easy to let urgent things keep coming our way, and so that we never get the things done that we need to get done, the important things. Psalm 84 and verse 10 says, For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Was a doorkeeper a great work? It was. It was. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. What's he saying in today's language? I'd rather be a greeter. I would rather be one that locks a door and shuts off the lights or whatever in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Whatever you do for the Lord is a great work. Do you know that coming to church and sitting here, being supportive of the pastor, is a great work? I'd feel pretty funny preaching to one person, Bob. I'd have a hard time with it. I try to do my best, but you know, I think in the back of my mind, I'd be wondering, where's everybody else? Your presence is a great work. What is it? Anything that you do for the Lord is a great work. And so you need to realize that if you come down off the wall, you are abandoning the great work. And Satan, again, will try every trick in his arsenal to get you to come down, but you just stay on the wall. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Most of the time when we quote that verse, we quote it, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But the whole verse says, submit yourselves to God. And the order there is important. You submit yourself to God first. You submit yourself to the work of the Lord. And if you realize that you are doing a great work for the Lord, and then when these other things come your way to try to get you to come down off the wall and become involved in something else, you say, no, I'm submitting to God in that I'm doing a great work for God. I would rather do that. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. We need to be diligent as we do the work of the Lord. I have to admit that when I first looked up that word diligent, I didn't like the definition that I found, because it literally means to be up early at a task. Oh, I don't like getting out of bed too early. But you know, you get more done that way, don't you? It's amazing how much more you can get into the day if you get up early and you start the time off with the Lord. So be diligent to do the work of the Lord. True diligence requires an expenditure of energy that is opposite to our human nature. Human nature is not really energetic. We would like to be couch potatoes. We would like to move along at our own pace. We'd like to sleep in. We naturally tend to make soft choices, like that sloth button, that snooze button on the alarm clock. The soft choice is to hit that and stay in bed for a while. I had a roommate in college, just drove me nuts. He hit that snooze button for about 2 hours. Every morning. I don't know why he just didn't set his alarm for later, because I don't think he ever planned on getting up at that time anyway. But he would just keep hitting that, making the soft choices in life. Am I saying you can't use a snooze button? No, I'm not saying that. You can use one, but control it. We tend to make soft choices. We tend to let others do the hard work. Whenever we are asked to carry out a difficult task, we usually ask ourselves two questions. What will I gain if I do it? Or what will I lose if I don't do it? Well, God provides the answer for us. Consider this passage of Scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And so our diligence, the motivation for that diligence, should be that we serve the Lord. We are actually employed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will make a thorough inspection of all that we do, and he will reward us for our diligence, not only in this life, but for all of eternity. And because Jesus is our employer, we don't need to worry if we are not recognized for an extra effort that we invest in the quality of work, or we don't need to wonder if what we have done will go overlooked, or maybe even if we avoided some details, worry that that might be noticed by somebody else. With this understanding, we should be motivated to fulfill the instruction of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Do it to the best of your ability, because you're not doing it for anybody other than the Lord. And He sees you. Even if nobody else sees you, He sees. And He'll reward you accordingly. Jesus said, if you give a cup of water in His name, you'll be rewarded for that. Anything that you do is a great work. And you know, there's such a privilege of serving the Lord and being involved in His work. It's the greatest work on earth. But if there was nothing but the satisfaction of doing it, I'd do it. And yet the Lord has promised that He will reward us someday for all of the work that we do. God's plan and His work are just too great for us to abandon them for the devil's foolishness. So we need to be on the job 24 hours a day. Number two, what else do we abandon? We abandon the right way. We abandon the right way. It seems to have been Nehemiah's manner of life to give himself 100% to his work. He realized that to come down would be to step down, and he would have to turn his back on the right way. Thomas Brooks says, the lazy Christian has his mouth full of complaints when the active Christian has his heart full of comforts. Isn't that true? The people that are involved in the work of the Lord, they feel His blessing. They experience His comfort. But those that don't do the work, so easy for them to sit back and criticize those who do. And so let's all be involved in the work of the Lord, then we won't be criticizing. We'll get to enjoy the comfort of the Lord. When we step down from the Lord's work, we are turning away from the path of righteousness and godliness. Turning back from the path of righteousness and godliness. God's call is for us to walk straight. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. See, the devil just wants to distract you. He just wants to get you off the path of righteousness. He doesn't even necessarily work to turn you around, to get you completely going in the opposite way. He just wants you a little bit off the path of righteousness. And so you have to keep looking straight ahead. When I used to mow the lawn out here, when I would just look down, I could not mow in a straight line at all. I was like this all down the field. And then after a while, you know, and you couldn't really follow the sidewalk because the sidewalk was not straight either. And so what I used to do is I used to pick out a tree across the field, and I used to watch that tree and just aim for that tree. And then I could mow a fairly straight line. But if I didn't have a mark out there to watch, my lines would be crooked. When we serve the Lord, we need to keep our eyes on Him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And if we keep our eyes on Him, then we'll be able to walk the straight path of righteousness. We won't get off the beaten path. We won't be turning to the right hand or to the left. But we will be following the mark that we need to follow. Our duty before the Lord is to faithfully carry out His commands and do His work efficiently, joyfully, and faithfully. Diligence is doing a task with the motivation of love and an attitude of joy. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Thomas Kempis said, whoever loves much does much. And I thought that was an interesting statement. Whoever loves much does much. And so if you love the Lord a lot, it's going to be proved by your working for Him. And I thought, you know, really that's what Jesus taught too, was it not? When He said, whoever has been forgiven much loves much. As Mary poured out that expensive ointment on Jesus' feet, washed His feet with her tears, dried His feet with her hair. She had been forgiven much, and so she loved much. The Pharisees thought they were pretty righteous, so they didn't have much to be forgiven for. And it showed in the way they treated Christ. We realize how sinful we are. There's none that does good. No, not one. None of us are righteous apart from Christ. And the more we realize that, the more our heart is going to go out in love to Him. And the more we realize Christ's love for us, the more we're going to love Him in return. And then the greater the work that we do. It's true. We loved Him because He first loved us. So the more we experience, the more we get to know His love, the greater our love for Him will be. The Christian life is a life of response. We respond to God as He works in us. We love because He loves. We are willing to go the extra mile because Christ went the extra mile for us. Whoever loves much does much. And then to step down is to compromise. We must ever hold to that which is right, even if we are standing alone when the dust settles. The third thing that we abandon is our witness. We abandon our witness. Nehemiah held a place of great authority and respect among the people. If he had come down, the work would have stopped and probably never would have been finished. All Jerusalem was watching his lead. In Jerusalem, Nehemiah was the leader. The people watched him and they emulated what they saw in their leader. But if he would have came down, his witness would have been ruined. The people would have been convinced that there really was a greater work than the Lord's work. And that's why we dare not come down off the wall. That's why we can't abandon the Lord's work. If we abandon the Lord's work for something else, in essence, we are saying there is a work that is greater than the Lord's work. We need to realize that we are being watched by a growing body of younger, impressionable believers. If we step down from the work, they might stumble. God help us to walk straight before the little ones, before the younger ones, before those who are not as mature in the Christian faith. The people outside Jerusalem were looking also. One false move in Nehemiah's credibility would have been destroyed. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Our lives have to be squeaky clean and spotless. Why? Because a world is watching us. And they want to make sure that the Christian life can be lived before they give it a try, before they give it a shot. The world is watching. They want to see if we are really serious about this work, about the Christian's life, about living righteous and holy. And then what can we do? We can stay on the wall for Jesus and keep living for Him. The diligent man gives himself completely to a task in order to accomplish it. He is rewarded with an audience before great men and rulers. Proverbs 22:29. This verse makes diligence, the idea of being up early at a task, this verse makes diligence worthwhile. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. The word mean there, the old English word for average. He will not stand before average men. he will stand before men of importance. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 63 through 69, some sad words actually when you think about it. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So there were people that were on the wall. But all of a sudden, they got down off the wall and they abandoned the work of the Lord. And Jesus says to his 12 disciples, well, are you going to get off the wall too? Are you going to abandon me too? And Peter says, no, we're not. You have the words of truth. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Listen, that is reason enough to stay on the wall and to follow him. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. His words were more important than any words ever spoken in history. His life was more important than any life ever lived in history. And you know what? He tells us that we need to follow his example. Did Jesus get down from the wall? Did he get off the cross? Did he abandon the work God sent him to do? No, he stayed on the wall. He stayed on the cross until he was able to say, it is finished. My challenge to you is don't abandon the work that God has called you to do. Stay on the wall. Love people enough to stay on the wall until your work on this earth is finished. And then, number four, what we abandon if we get off the wall is that we abandon the welfare of the heathen. Jerusalem was known by all, Jew and heathen alike, as the place where God was worshipped. Nehemiah loved God and wanted to rebuild the fallen city so that God could be worshipped and the lost could be converted unto him. To come down off the wall would have been equal to forgetting the eternal danger the sinner is in. Any time God is worshipped and proclaimed in truth and sincerity, souls will be saved. But if we come down from our high calling in him, we have abandoned the lost and given them up to hell. You and I are the only light some people will ever see. Therefore, we must not be dimmed by the world, but we must shine brightly. You and I are the only Bible that some people will ever read. Say, I'm a Bible? Yes, Paul called you a living epistle, written to be read of all men. Therefore, we must be clear and pure. 1 Corinthians 14, 7 and 8. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? What is that saying? It's saying that you as a Christian have to make certain sounds. You have to live your life in such a way that people know that you are a Christian, that you are different from the world. If you are not, people are not going to be able to know the Savior. Your life needs to be an example for them. And so our duty is clear. Refuse to listen to the calls and challenges of the devil. Stay in the battle for Jesus and don't come down off that wall for any reason. Anything other than the perfect center of God's will is not the place for you. If Nehemiah had come down, he would have been in danger, I believe. You know what? You will too. If you abandon the work of the Lord for some other work, you'll find yourself in danger. Stay on the wall. Finish the task, and God will ultimately bless your life and your effort. Have your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You know the challenge tonight, the challenge is going to be to stay on the wall and not abandon the work God has called you to do. You say, but Pastor, I'm just burnt out. I don't know if I can do the work anymore. Well, God can restore that zeal. God can set your heart on fire once again. But first of all, you need to purpose that you are going to stay on the wall and you're not going to come down. And there might be people here tonight. People in your life are trying to drag you down. People might be trying to get you sidetracked from what you know to be God's calling for you. Stay on the wall. Can't give you any better advice than that, than to stay in the wall. Stay in the center of God's will. Don't ever get out of God's will, because if you do, you'll find yourself in danger. Stay on the wall, do God's will, and be diligent about it. Do the best that you can. Whether it's a great work, as far as what people think, or not, to God it is still a great work. How many tonight purpose, Pastor, I purpose to stay on the wall and not abandon the work? Would you raise your hands? Amen. Amen. Lord, we are so thankful tonight that you give us the strength and the grace to be able to submit to you, so that we have the power to resist the devil and watch him flee. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would build diligence in each of us. Lord, I pray tonight that you would give us that strength and that fire to stay on the wall and not abandon your work. Lord, I just pray that you would encourage people tonight in what they are doing. Lord, may they feel your stamp of approval on their life and on their ministry. Even now, may they hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, because we need that from time to time, so that we can carry on the work that you have called us to do. I thank you for each of these people. I thank you for placing them in this body, in this church. I thank you for the work that they do. And Lord, there's many people here that work, and it's unnoticed by others. But Lord, thank you that you notice. And thank you that you do reward and will reward. Just bless your people tonight for their faithfulness, for staying on the path of righteousness, and for staying on the wall. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.